Thank you, Libby. If you have your Bibles, would you please turn them to the book of James? I know you have a handout. There's actually one passage that's not in the handout that we will refer to this evening. Thanks for being here midweek. And oh, I got some power on this monitor right here, Oscar. I don't mind hearing myself. I don't want to yell at myself, though. But you do have a handout. Quite a few verses here tonight. Brother John, he's over there, but he's watching right here on about a probably 30-second delay. He said, Brother Joseph, he said, way too many verses for me to sign over here. I said, only about 8 verses. I actually cut 6 out. But Ephesians chapter 1, so we're in the book of James chapter 1, but we will read this here. If you've ever taught consistently or preached, I don't know if there's ever been a message. Brother Ron, how many years? Brother Ron, how many years have you been teaching? Many? 17? 18? 20. Okay, praise the Lord for faithfulness. That's what I'm talking about. I think Brother Ron, Brother Jeremy, Brother Josh, Ms. Torres, pushing 20 years each teaching. But those of us that teach and preach, sometimes there will be a message that we prepare and we pray and we know it's the right message, but then you're going to stand up and preach. It's like, man, I could have preached something a whole lot easier than that. And I guess this is one of them, but I believe it's what God would have for us. A little different message. I don't know that I've ever maybe heard a message on this topic, but Ephesians chapter 1, there's a key word or a key concept I'd like us to get as a church. And I think that if we just get it as a church and as individuals, it will help us. Of course, do pray for our country, our blessed governor. Because COVID, you know, he wants to do a curfew. We pray for him, right? Pray for him? Yes. I think Brother Dan just mentioned that. But because COVID comes out past 10, right? And the bars can stay open, and they can be carousing with their masks off, because it doesn't hang out there. But anyways. Not trying to be like pastor, but I have to read these updates, and I kind of feed them to pastor sometimes. We kind of bounce things off each other, and it just kind of gets inside you. You can't help it. But pray for our governor. He needs help. He likes the color purple, so he wants to put all the counties back in the purple tier, I guess, or whatever. But pray. Of course, we do what we ought to do. We pray we'll be okay. Praise the Lord we can be here, though, right? In the open air. And thank you for being here tonight on an off night. Good crowd. Praise the Lord for that. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 19. The Bible says this. Again, quite a few verses here tonight. I think you'll be able to tell real quick what the theme is. But wherefore, Paul says, of course, we're going to look at Paul's admonition or Paul's prayer for 5 different churches here, 5 different churches. But the concept's the same. His desire for the church or for the individuals in the church is the same. That's what I want to talk about here just for a short time tonight. Probably a little bit longer introduction, shorter message, and we'll be good here. He says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. And so he says, is to the Ephesian church, I heard about your faith, and I pray for you always. Now, what does he pray for these people for? That ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what is the exceeding greatness of his, what's the next word? Oh, come on, we can do better than that. Of his what?
Power.
Of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. And let's look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. The Bible says, now unto him that is able, and we quote this verse a lot. We say, man, I want this verse to be real in my life, and I want it to be real in my life. And of course, when we're preaching to the teenagers and the college students, we say, hey, make this your theme. Look at it here. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Now unto him, God, that is able, and by the way, he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And we say, wow, God is able to do in our lives a whole lot more than we can even imagine, right? And we say, you ought to live your life in such a way that God can do so much more than you can even dream of. And of course, you can live the fulfilled Christian life and he can do that. But look here. Paul gives us a sneak peek into how that takes place. Here it is. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the what? The power that worketh in us. 2 Thessalonians, of course, this is another church. Second church we read about here. Same concept, different people. Same desire from the Apostle Paul. Wherefore, we also pray always for you. He says, I'm always praying for you guys, and this is my desire. I want to see this in your church. I want to see this in your life, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with what?
Power.
With power. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. There as well, of course, now this is the third church. Another church, the same concept. He says that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men. And by the way, with YouTube, let's be honest. How often do we turn to YouTube for answers, right? YouTube, what is this new one? What is the new conservative one? He said, Fox News is liberal now. What is it? No. It's Newsmax? Newsmax, right? Is that it? Okay. And so let me go get my info from there. And I'm not against, yeah, I try to keep up with the political game and whatnot. But we'll go to YouTube. We'll go to Instagram. We'll look at self-help help books, right? To try to help our situation. But look here. Got to be careful. There may be a place for that. But he says, I want your faith to stand not in the wisdom of men, but in the, what's the next word?
Power.
In the power of God. 1 Corinthians 4:20, he reminds us, he says, for the kingdom of God, that's what we strive for. That's what we build. That's what we live inside of. Look, I'm an American through and through, okay? My wife got me to like apple pie. I love the flag. I'm not going to sit down when people are, I appreciate what people did to give their lives, shed their blood, for us to have the freedoms to do what we're doing right here, right now. And I'm not going to, if you're a Christian, you can't be a patriot. You poppycock. I don't believe that, okay? I think that you can, now, of course, I'm a citizen of heaven first. I am. But at the same time, I can be patriotic. But though we live inside of this world, this present world, he says, you want to remember this. We live in flesh and blood. We are citizens of, in this case, America, most of us. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in, what's the next word? But in power, in power. 2 Corinthians 12:9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Those of us that have gone through trials, how often do we quote this verse, right? The Lord, your grace and your strength is sufficient for me. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Why? Why was Paul, and he gave a whole list. Why was he willing to go through all those things? Here it is. What's the next word?
Power.
That the power of Christ may rest upon me. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Of course, Ephesians talks a lot about spiritual warfare. Right? It talks about we don't wrestle. It talks about all that stuff. But here, look here. He says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the, what's the next word?
Power.
The power of his might. Let's look at a fourth church here. Philippians chapter 3. Apostle Paul says, that I may know him. And of course, that was Christ's desire. He wanted to know God. And by the way, I hope our desire is to know God. Right? I hope we don't know, it's sad that the Dodgers and the Lakers had to win during COVID, right? Then again, that didn't stop anybody from celebrating, did it? Don't go to Thanksgiving, though. If you're outside your family, don't do that, okay? Coronavirus is discriminant. But we could go on and on. We won't. It's like an inner struggle. I look at the time, I look at my notes, and then my thoughts just want to flow out. It's like, no, stay here. I don't know if pastor's watching, but if he is, he's saying, that's right. Stay to your notes. Okay. That I may know him. He wanted to know him. I do hope that we know more about the Lord and the things of God than we do about our favorite team, our favorite pitcher. You know, so-and-so pitcher just got traded. He's a great closer. He's going to Philly or whatever. Great. But he said, I want to know him. And as I studied for this, I never really understood the scale of this next phrase. He said, I want to know him, and I also want to know the, what's the next word?
Power
of his resurrection. Now, I just thought about that as a risen Christ, but think about this. Paul is saying, I want in my life, in this flesh, in this blood, as a human being, I want to know personally the same power that was able to take a dead Christ and turn him into a risen Christ. I want to know the same power that literally raised Christ from the dead and conquered death with victory. So I want to know that kind of power in my life and the fellowship of his sufferings. Look at this fifth church here, Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. For this cause also, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you. Again, he's praying for this, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious, what's the next word?
Power.
One New Year's Day, a while back, in the Tournament of Roses parade, a beautiful float was trekking down the road. Thousands of in awe spectators, if you would. And they were standing there, and float after float after float would go by. And one float went by. It was extraordinary, if you would. It was very beautiful. But in the middle of the parade, all of a sudden, that float just kind of sputtered and stopped. You say, why? It held up the entire... Someone said it was a Ford. Who was that? Seriously? Pastor, he's been listening to your message if you're watching, okay? Oh, my soul. I saw a hilarious meme about Fords the other day, but I won't go there. I actually like Mustangs. When I was a teenager, I wanted to get one. Pastor did say they did that one right, though, right? Mustangs and F-150s, but you don't have to agree with that. No, it was not a Ford, at least as far as I know. It ran out of gas. The entire parade was stopped because this float was out of gas. Now, that's not the ironic thing. You know, heads are going to roll. Someone's going to get reprimanded if they keep their job, right? And so that wasn't... Here's the ironic thing. The float represented the Standard Oil Company. Now, with its vast oil resources, its truck was out of gas and without power to continue the parade. Can you imagine the mockery? Can you imagine the newscasters? Now, in that day, I don't believe at that point they had memes. But can you imagine the memes? Can you imagine they compare it, you know, to certain politicians up there stuttering and kind of just halting to a stop out of gas, right? And I could just see it. It's endless. But with its vast resources representing the Standard Oil Company, it was out of power. You say, that's embarrassing. That is embarrassing. But I wonder how many Christians oftentimes are like that float. We have access to God's hand. We have access to God's power. We have access to God's spirit. We have access to God's word. We have access to answer prayers. We have access to getting God's favor. We have access to God working in our life and our church and through our pastor and through the vision and through our children. And how often do we go through the motions, sputtering through this Christian life week in and week out in the arm of this flesh without power? Tonight, I want to preach just a simple message on yours it says powerless Christianity. I changed it on mine to be a little more positive. Power in our Christianity. Now, I'll just say this up front. It's not because I'm an expert by any means on the fullness of the power of God. It's like Pastor says, who can really preach on prayer, right? Who can really stand up and preach on humility? Who can really stand up here and preach on the fullness of the Spirit of God? Who can stand up here and preach on being full of the power of God? Kind of blame Pastor for this when he's been feeding me books on prayer and different things. And the more I read, the more I read the book of Acts, the more I read the writings of Christians in generations gone by, the more I'm convicted at the lack of real evidence of God's power working in my life right here and right now. Paul's desire time and time again was that the people in the churches would have a clear evidence of God's power at work in their lives. People of the early church craved God's power in their lives. Now, when we think of the power of God, I want you to just answer in your own mind. We think of that guy, he's got the power of God on his life. Or that guy, you know, we could tell that God's hand is on his life. Who do we think about? Probably the preacher, right? Or maybe an up-and-coming preacher boy. But in all these passages that we read, Colossians, Philippians, 1 Thessalonians, 1 Corinthians, all these. Was Paul talking to the pastors or was Paul talking to the people in the pews? Paul was talking to the entire church, and Paul's desire was that they would see an evident working of the power of the gospel and God's power in and through their lives. So the question today is there evidence of God's power working in our lives in any way? I was on Instagram the other day. Where's Brother Tongdi? Somewhere around here. I heard him over here. Is he here? Oh, he slipped out. Oh, right there. There he is. Gong. The other day on Instagram. He opened it up and he posted a post of his prayer journal. I got to stop standing over here. Y'all can't see me over there. Of his, but if I'm here, then you can't see me. I guess it is what it is. He posted a couple pages, if I'm not mistaken, from his prayer journal. He's one of the nationals. I think he used to do judo or something like that. Got saved through the ministry there in their country. And he posted and he said, since 2017, I've recorded 128 answers, specific answers to prayer in my prayer journal. 128 since 2017. Man, I don't know about you, but that's convicting. Let's be honest with ourselves, right? How many of us can open up a prayer journal and point to 28 this year? Specific answers to prayer. But is there a different God that works in Laos than works here in America? Or maybe he knows something about tapping into the power of God that we would do well to learn from. You say, what is the power of God? You have it here. The power of God is evidence of God's working supernaturally in our lives for our good, the good of others, his glory, and his purposes. What might the power of God look like in my life? How about this? The power of God can be seen when I have a struggling or wayward child. By the way, I don't have teen children, and I certainly don't have adult children. But I know that's a whole different ballgame than where my children are right now, where I told them, I said, don't make me call you out. Don't make me spank you in front of everybody tonight because I'm not sitting back there to keep you in check. I know it's a whole other ballgame. But the power of God can be seen when I have a struggling child, a backslidden child, maybe someone I'm near and dear to, a disciple that I see wandering away from God. And I've tried everything. I've talked to them until I've taken them out for coffee, and I talked till I was blue in the face, and I've written them notes and sent them texts and try to get them back to church, and it's not working. But then I add them to the top of my prayer list. And I get in my prayer closet, and I get on my knees, and I pray, and I pray, and I pray, and what my text messages, and what my coffee, and what my meetings, and talking till I was blue in the face could not do, God starts to break at their hard heart. And God starts to get a hold of their hard and seared conscience, and you see them start coming back and caring about the things of God. That's the power of God being evident in our lives. Think of Hudson Taylor's mom. And Hudson Taylor, the great missionary to China, right? Did great things for God. The China Inland Mission, and then its influence still going on today. He was 15 years old, grew up in a Christian home, a very conservative home. And what happened? He got away from God, got around the wrong crowd, and so he began to curse, and he began to scorn and mock the things of God. It was heavy on his mom's heart, and she wrote him notes, and she talked, and she tried to counsel, and the dad was just real harsh, and you know, dads, you know what I'm talking about. Sometimes, you know, they come in with the strawberry, go see your mother. I'm not good at that kind of stuff. But his dad was real harsh on him, and his dad just kind of went off. His mom said, oh, I'm going to be compassionate, and I'm going to talk to him. One day, and she wasn't getting through. And he was just wandering further and further and further from God as a teenager, starting to get up into his upper teen years. One day she decided, she said, you know, this isn't working. I'm going to go close my door, lock myself in the room, get my Bible and my prayer life and get alone with God and plead with God until he gets a hold of the heart of my child. That day, Hudson Taylor was just kind of carousing, kind of wasting his day along. He wandered in the same time his mom was praying. He walks into the house, and he's just kind of going through the library, wasting time. He pulls out a book. He says, got nothing better to do. Why don't I read this book? And inside that book, there were some things that pricked at his conscience and got to his hard heart. And that day, he was saved. And that day, he gave his life to the Lord. And that day, it was a couple days between him and his mom seeing each other. He said, Mom, I have something to tell you. And she could see a radiance about him. And she looked at him, and she said, I already know. He said, how did you know? He said, because I prayed for it. Amen. That's God's power evident in someone's life. How about when I need an answer or I'm struggling and I pray and I open up God's word? I was talking to someone about a week or two ago and they said, man, I really needed help from God. It was a struggling time in my life and I opened up the word and I looked and there was a verse. It was exactly what I needed. That's God's ability to speak to me and his power working in my life to make me what he wants me to be. How about this? The power of God helps me to maybe break an addiction or a habit that I've tried for years and years on my own to break. Maybe it's anger. Maybe I grew up in an angry home and I just struggle with anger and I lash out at my wife. I lash out at my children. I lash out at the people at work and I struggle with that. Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's moral impurity. Maybe it's a temporal value system, something that's got its hold on me and for years and years and years. But I get into God's word and the Holy Spirit begins to do a deeper work in my life. And finally, through Christ, I break free. Pastor mentioned it the other day. It's not, well, once an addict, always an addict. No, through Christ, I can have his power set me free from that stuff. By the way, RU plug here. Where's my RU people? Brother John, right there. A couple others. Oh, Brother Ivan, and don't want to miss anybody. Commercial break. I encourage you, RU. It's Christ-based, and it will help. But really, good material. You say, man, I'm struggling. I can't go Friday nights. Get a hold of that material. It will help you with the power of Christ to break free from some of that stuff. How about at work? You ever have a boss? I don't even have to finish, right? You already, yeah, I do. Right? Ever have a boss that's just overbearing or a workplace conflict? You know, God is very concerned about our work life as well. He is. I was talking to one of the guys recently, and he said, my boss just won't give me Sunday nights off. He just won't give me Sunday nights off. And Sundays off at all. He had started having him work on Sundays. And I said, go talk to him. He said, I already talked to him. It's not going to work. I talked to him. And I said, no. I said, talk to him again. I said, why don't we pray? Let's pray. Pray all this week and then go talk to him. No joke. And I don't know. I didn't talk to his boss the first time. I didn't talk to him the second time. We prayed that week. He went and it was a simple, please, I want to go to church. Please give me Sundays off. And he gave him Sundays off just like that. God wants to be real and evident. He wants his power to work in our life. Look, we need God's power if we're going to rear our children for God. Too many of our children will, at least in Christianity in America, too many of them grow up. They may come to church. They may go through the motions, but it's wake up, eat, get ready, go to school or go to work, live my life, talk like the world, dress like the world, think like the world, listen to the things the world listens to, hang out with the people of the world, come to church because that's just what I do, repeat. God doesn't want that. God wants to see our children walk with him and know him and make a difference for him and go and pass that down to their children. But if that's going to happen, we are going to have to we cannot do it in the arm of our flesh. The enemy is too strong, it's too big. There's social media, there's friends, there's the workplace, there's the internet, there's all the junk out there. I need God's help. And I need his power to be evident in my life to rear my children for him. And if I'm going to make the difference that he wants me to make. With God's power in our lives, he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. But without it, we will go through this life sputtering like that float, never living out the fulfilled, joyful, effective Christian life that he wants us to live. I like the question that Elisha asked after Elijah was taken up to heaven. You remember, right? Elijah was the man of God, man of power, right? Elijah was the guy that, he did all those things. You know, he called down fire, raised someone from the dead. He split the river open. God took him up. Elisha took his mantle, and he was the next guy on the scene. I didn't even get to my points, and we've got about 15 minutes left. This is great. It's going to be good. You say, why do you say that? So you know how much time is left, so you pay attention for the last 15 minutes. What did Elisha do? The man of God was gone. The prior generation that saw God's power work personally, it was gone. And so he walks to the river. Before, he had relied on Elijah, right? And Elijah saw God's power evident. But Elisha is at a situation now where he needs to see God's power work. And what question did he ask? He said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? He smote the waters and it opened up. Just a couple more moments before that, he was just a Bible college student. He was just a son of the prophet. That's all he was. But a couple moments after that, he said, where is the God that worked for Elijah and that moved for Elijah? I want that same power in my life. He smote the waters, and they looked at him, and they said, wow, the power that rested on Elijah now rests on Elisha. We would do good every once in a while to ask, where's the Lord God of prior generations? Where's the Lord God of the New Testament church? Look, if they could start all those churches and if they could reach their community and they could turn their world upside down, why can we not? So we're limited because of a pandemic, not with God's power. We do good to ask, where is the God of George Mueller, right? To where, oh, hey, I've got hundreds of orphans. I have no salary. There's no food on the table. How am I going to feed them? He says, children, let's pray. He closes his eyes. He bows his head and he says, Lord, I thank you for the food that you are going to provide. And what happens? You know, they're looking around. What food? There's no food. And you've heard the story on multiple occasions. A milk truck or a bread truck or a food truck breaks down. Oh, just so happens right outside of the orphanage. And they say, we don't want this to go to waste. Do you know anybody that can use this? Well, I know someone that can use it. Or it's wintertime and they don't have enough coats for them. And they pray for coats. And sure enough, a place is going out of business with nice coats. And they give them all their coats. Do we still have access to George Mueller's God? Can God still work in our life like he did in his? I think of this property where we are right now and how my father, God put it in his heart, pray for this property. And he walked over here I remember the first time we did, and we walked around the property and we toured it and we asked the owners, can we buy it? And they said, no, we're not interested. You want to sell it. And for, I think it was 7 years, my dad would come here during his prayer time, and this was his prayer walk, to walk around this property and pray that someday God would give it to us. And here we are sitting here tonight. Do we have the same God that answered that prayer for 7 years of walking around for us to be here tonight? I think of, and this is a personal one, where my parents were, you know, they were short on cash when we first started the church, and it was rough. You know, my dad was he was mowing lawns, and he was doing anything to make ends meet, right? And they were short on their rent. You've heard the story before. $100 short. There was no, you know, stimulus at that time or anything like that. So my mom and my dad, they went down and they got on their knees and they prayed. So Lord, we need $100. And as soon as they stood up from praying, there's a knock at the door, right? And normally you say, man, these are things you just read about. No, these are things that happen here, people in our church, right? And he opens the door and a guy says, God told me to give this to you. Handed him a little wad of cash and walked away. Amen. He went inside. You know, my dad would always mess around. Did I count it right then and there? Of course not. Just like when you go preach at another church, they give you the love offering. Keep it inside. Don't open it till you get to your car. Then you open it. Just kidding, okay? No, my dad took it and he went inside and closed the door. And as soon as he closed the door, yes, he counted it. 20, 40, 60, 80, 100. Do we have access to that same power? Do we have access to that power through prayer just like he did? Yes, we do. And I could go on and on and on. Is God's power working in your life? Is it evident? Do you desire, seek, or want to see God's power working in and through your life? And I've got to move quickly, about 12 minutes here. Where can we, as God's people, tap into God's power? Just a couple simple things that I think will help us here tonight. Nothing crazy, nothing profound. Again, if nothing else, I hope that we just all, myself included, have a little more of a desire and a taste and an appetite to get a hold of the power of God in our lives. Number one. We find God's power in the Word of God. The Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, it says this. It says, for the Word of God is quick. What's that word quick mean? Alive, right? Quick. It's alive. You ever open up your book, and by the way, it's a beautiful thing when, you know, there's no sin between you and God, and you have a desire to get into his word. You open it up, and that thing just comes to life. You ever been there, and God speaks to you? He says, it's alive. It's quick. And what's the next word?
Powerful.
And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner. He said, I thought it was just black ink on a white page, and depending if you have synthetic leather or cowhide, or someone around here has goat skin. Who is that? Someone told me recently it's like a $200 Bible on goat skin. Brother Pichardo, you probably don't want to have that on the inventory. It might get swiped or someone might not buy. Like $200, goat's getting crazy. He said, I thought it was just paper, ink. No. Those words were given by God himself. Amen. And those things are quick. They're alive. They're powerful. It says it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It's amazing how Brother Ken right here, Brother John right here, myself, we can all read the same passage with the right heart, seeking for God to do something through our scripture reading. And Brother John's going through something in his life and he needs something. And he's thinking about something. And the word of God discerns his thoughts and his intents and speaks to him. But I'm going through something totally different. I'm in a different stage of life. I have my own issues that I'm going through and God speaks to me differently. Then he speaks to Brother Ken differently. You say, what is that? That is a quick, powerful word of God discerning the thoughts and intents of my heart and powerfully working in my life. That's what that is. You say, I want to see God's power work in my life. I'll tell you what you need to do. You need to get into this book. You need to get into this book and let it work in your life. Let's look at James. I asked you to open your Bible. I know it's a long time ago. Here, James chapter 1. James chapter 1. If I can find it myself. Brother Ray, I should have gotten that, what is it called? Thumb index Bible or something? James chapter 1. Also along the lines of the word of God being powerful. James chapter 1. I gave the wrong verse here. I noticed that after I already sent it to the ladies. Now look at verse number 25. James chapter 1 verse 25. It says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty. What is that? That's the Bible, is it not? So whoso, any of us that look into the perfect law of liberty and continueth there, and we're living in the word, we're reading the word, we're thinking about it, meditating on it, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Oh my, now that is not the one I'm looking for. Here it is, verse 23. If anyone be a hearer or doer, he's like a man that, here it is, beholding his natural faith in a glass, a face in a glass, verse 24. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. And we just read the other one. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, that's how you're blessed. Now, what's the point there? What is the word of God likened unto in here? What is it? A mirror, right? It's a mirror. And so, some people, they spend more time in the mirror than others. All right, sometimes before service or before school, I'll walk in there and, you know, the junior high guys, it's like, it's not going to help, okay? But the word of God's like a mirror. Every one of us look into it and it powerfully shows us who we really are. It shows us our blemishes. You ever look in a mirror and you have a pimple, a zit? You ever look in a mirror and you have a blemish on your face, you're like, whoa, where'd that come from, right? Or a piece of, you ever touch like charcoal or something, you wipe your face, you didn't know, and all of a sudden you've got that, it looks like the Indian war paint or something like that, right? You're like, man, I didn't know that was there. Now, I look, and as I'm looking in there, it's like, okay, what do I need to do? Turn the water on right here, pump it down, wet it, and wipe it off, right? But he says, that's what the word of God does. It's like a mirror. I look into the perfect law of liberty, and it shows me who I am, and it shows me what I need to do. But if I leave it behind and I walk away from the perfect law of liberty, it's like a man that saw himself in the mirror, he walked away, and he forgot that he had a massive white head that he needed to pop. Or he forgot that he had something he needed to wipe off. Or he forgot, that the rice from lunch, and we do rice, and he didn't wipe it off. That's the power of God's word. Can I just say this before I quickly move to point number two? If I want to hear God speak, I need to get into his word. If I want God's power to be evident and start to do a work in my life, I'm going to find that where? In his word. If I want the power to live the way I ought to, I must find it in this book. If I want success in my life, my family, it will come by continuing to read, meditate, and obey this book. The first place we find God's power is in his word. We will never find God's power working in our life if we're not continually in the word of God. Number two. Quickly. We find God's power through prayer. I think you have a blank there. James 4:2, you lust, you have not. You kill, desire to have, you cannot obtain. You war, you fight in war, yet you have not. Why? Because you ask not. Look at Luke chapter 9, chapter 11, verse 9. He says, and I say unto you, this is the Lord speaking, ask. Do you think the Lord wants us to ask? Well, he said it right there, right? He said, ask. He said, I want you to ask. Someone once said, the wealthiest mind in all the world is the mind of the riches and goodness available to God's people that they never asked for. I say unto you, ask and it shall be given. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. Pastor said this recently. Maybe the most necessary habit to see God's power, but probably the most neglected, is the area of prayer. Can I ask, how's our prayer life today? How is it? We talked about getting God's help with our children. I'm not going to do it, but I know a preacher that did before. Brother Gary, you probably heard this illustration before. You probably know who it is. Where a preacher said, stand up if you prayed for your children at least 5 minutes this entire week. There wasn't even one person in each section. And then we wonder why God's working and his power is not evident in the lives of our children. We have not because we ask not. Say, well, I want the vision for our church to go forward. I want to send more missionaries. I want to see churches planted. Did you pray for 5 minutes for it this week? I want God to answer. I want God to move on my behalf. Are we asking him? By the way, not just for us. How about for our missionaries? Talk to Brother Luis. Maybe he's probably not watching. It's a couple hours later right now. He said he's going to be watching our services. Think of Brother Luis. I text him, and I hope he doesn't mind me saying this. I said, Brother Luis, how's it going? He said, my wife's good. My children are good. Man, I'm struggling to adjust over here. He goes, I know this is my home country, but man, it's real. I'm here. It's a story of a missionary. Look, by the way, if we're sending them out, there is a spiritual battle that they're facing where they need God's power. And you say, what's our job? If God's called us to be here, to make money, to send it over there, and to be the senders and to hold the ropes, we need to hold the ropes in prayer. I hope that we pray for our missionaries. Friday, that's my day. That's it's on my Friday list, all the names of the missionaries. I'm going to read this here. The date was January 19th. The year was 1888. The place was Toronto, Canada. The old historic Knox Church was filled to capacity. Excitement was in the air. And by the way, we, thank God, we can relate with this first part. Excitement was in the air. The young man and his new bride were addressing their home church the last time before being sent to Africa. The mission field at that time known as the White Man's Grave. The church was excited to be sending this couple. My wife and I, he said behind the pulpit, have a strange dread in going. The young man then spoke soberly. We feel much as if we're going down into a pit. We're willing to take the risk and go if you, our home circle, will promise to hold the ropes. This brave young couple instinctively knew that they were engaging in dangerous business. They knew the stakes were high and they could not do it alone. They were asking for help. In the inspiration and anointing of the moment, the people responded heroically, yes, we will hold the ropes. Everyone present promised to pray, to support, to stand with their missionaries as they attempted to go to those borders with God's kingdom and to advance the borders of God's kingdom. They committed themselves to be partners for this young missionary couple. Unfortunately, sincerity doesn't cut it on the front lines. Within 2 years, his wife and baby were buried. In 2 years, this missionary contacted the same fatal fever and realized he too was dying. He decided to return to Canada without informing a single person. As destiny would have it, he arrived at the church at the same time of the Wednesday night prayer meeting. No one noticed as he slipped in and sat in the back pew. As the prayer meeting dutifully crawled to its close, he went forward. The people were in shock as this emaciated, broken shell of a man began to speak. I'm your missionary, he said. My wife and child are buried in Africa, and I've come home to die. This evening, I listened anxiously as you prayed for just some mention of your missionary to see if you were keeping your promise to hold the ropes, but in vain. You prayed for everything connected with yourselves and your home church, but you forgot your missionary. I now see why I failed on the field. It's because you failed to hold the ropes. Now, that's only half of it, and it goes on to say, give the church some leniency. Maybe it wasn't that. Maybe there were other factors. But, you know, I talked to Brother Luis, and I see some of our missionaries here. Man, they're on the front lines. If we're going to commission and send them out and hope that they have God's power to go reach into, I think of the Cham people, Brother Tu, that's you, right? 1,000 years bound by the power of Satan. And if we're going to go breach that and as a church have a part in that, we're going to need to hold the ropes and pray for God's power in their lives. By the way, thank the Lord that I know a lot of us do pray. I really believe that. And we see what God is doing. I have another illustration here that's on the contrary. I have 2 minutes, so I won't read it. Along the same lines, but flipped to where a man was struggling on the mission field, just struggling. And all of a sudden, one day, he had a major breakthrough. This was at the time where there were no telegrams, no text messages, no WeChat, Messenger, or WhatsApp, right? Those are all the international ones. 3 months later, he got a telegram from a group of believers back home saying, we decided at that point to have a prayer meeting for you. And it was the exact same day he had his breakthrough. And I wish I could talk about that. I got to move. I have other illustrations. Number three. In time, I'll share this just real quick. There's a time that I may have shared before, we needed lodging for our college students, or we because of certain moves and whatnot, we didn't have a place for our ladies. I had 8 or 9, 10 ladies at the time. We needed help. And there was a house, a vacant house, 25 years it was vacant. 25 years. And everyone in the neighborhood had tried, and the owner said, nope. Didn't even give them an ear. Long story short, a couple of us, we decided we're going to pray. Let's fast for a day. We did. We drove out cold call and asked the lady, hey, look, we've heard you're a Christian, and we want to honor your parents. Would you want to honor your parents through this home? Long story short, she said, you know, just this week, I prayed that God would send somebody to help me with that house. That's called God's power evidently working on our behalf for his good, the good of others, and for his glory. Number three, and I've got to close. I'm just going to give us these last ones. We find power in the Holy Spirit. Once we get into God's word, we start seeking God in prayer. We don't leave unconfessed sin in our life. We're keeping a clean slate with God. His Holy Spirit will become sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And I got to move. Acts 1:8, ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Jesus told him, he said, look, don't go do the work of the ministry in the arm of the flesh. Wait until you have the Holy Spirit's power backing you. We're going to have to move here. Look here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19 says, quench not the Spirit. You ever know you're about to say something because I know that's what I ought to say? And that still small voice says, don't say it. How many of you have ever been there? No, you always say what you ought to say to your wife. Okay, fair enough. Well, maybe it's just me. I'm the sinner here. Okay, it's like, don't say it. What do? But it's the best thing to say. I'm going to say it anyways. Quench, not the Spirit, right? And so we learn to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Don't quench the Spirit. Don't grieve the Spirit, because the Spirit gives us the power of God in our life. Oh, I have other illustrations. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Number four. We find power in the gospel. You want to see God's power work like right in front of you? Go share the gospel with someone. See, how do you know? I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Why? For it, the gospel, is the power of God unto salvation. Go share the death, burial, and resurrection with someone on the street and see how they get convicted. See it. See how it works. That's probably the most evident, right in front of our eyes, way to see God's power working. Take the gospel, go share it with somebody, but we got to move. Here it is. Number five, we find power by not living with unconfessed sin in our lives. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, I'm closing real fast here. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 25, almost the same. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. Man, I wouldn't want my sins to withhold good things from God for my life, our church, my family, and whatnot. Psalm 78, 41. Yay, they turned back and tempted God. So you say, is God limited? This is not saying, can God build a rock that he can't carry? Okay, whatever. No. Yay, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Why? Because there was sin between them and God. In this day and age, probably more than ever before, it's so easy to have secret sin. You say, why? Technology? Earbuds? Just the way our society is wired. If we want God's power in our life, if we really want to see God work, we got to work that stuff out of our life. You say, well, I'm struggling with it. It's been a long time. Come get help. You say, how can I experience God's power? God's word, through prayer, through the gospel, not unconfessed sin. Again, I don't know about you. I want to see. I don't want to just read biographies and read about the New Testament church and say, wow, God's power worked for them. I want to see God's power evident in my life. And he wants to do the same for us if we'll desire and we'll pursue it the right way. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for your spirit that guides us, your word that's powerful, it's alive, and it teaches us, Lord. Thank you so much for what you do. I pray that you would please help our appetites to stay wet for your power, Lord. I pray that we would not settle for a sputtering, fleshly, going through the motions Christianity, but Lord, that your word would speak freshly to us and that your spirit would work through us. Again, God, we'll thank you for it. Please be with our church as we go our separate ways. Please be with the couples retreat. Give us a great time, and even those that stay back home. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.